And a ho, ho, ho. Welcome to the HalfGuarded.com Power Hour. I'm Zachary. Thomas Gilbert is my co-host. Dan Santa Ford.
Something we've got in common, we are both, our middle names are both Thomas.
Oh, there you go.
Little, we could have called this the Doubting fact. Thomas cast.
Ooh, or the T-squared.
Yeah, sure.
All right, Dan, we're back. Fun week in college, fun weekend. Let's jump in, though, to the biggest controversy to kind of come out of this weekend. Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, both sitting out their bowl games. Thoughts?
Yeah, this is only a big deal if you're an idiot. And this one of the things that happens every year around this time of the year is that jerk-off mainstream college football writers, almost all of them not guys who work for ESPN, because I think part of why this argument, this discussion comes up is it's a way for people in the mainstream college, in the mainstream college sports media, to shit on ESPN in a roundabout way, because obviously ESPN owns a lot of the small bowls. They own almost all of them. I think they own all of them, but like the Sun Belt.
Yeah.
But and you the know, Gator. So yeah, the Sun Belt and the Gator. You know, there's like two or three maybe total.
There's one that comes on CBS Sports Network.
I know the Sun Bowl is always on CBS. And that's the one I keep thinking of. But mainly,
ESPN owns most of the bowls.
So if you're a college football writer who doesn't work for ESPN, like this time every year, like, oh, there's too many bowls. There's too many bowls. They don't mean anything. Oh, we're letting 6 and 6 teams into a bowl.
Yeah.
And it's all meaningless. Yeah.
The people who complain about this are giant nerds. Only a nerd wouldn't want to watch and gamble on more football.
Well, no, they're not even nerds. They're just like lazy-ass college football writers who like that mainstream media thing where it's like they think anybody gives a shit about how hard their lives are.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm so busy right now. Okay, yeah, the rest of us are too. Or like, we all have jobs.
Or when the writers complain on Twitter about the airline.
Oh, it's not fair. The airline didn't fly me through the sky on time. I didn't get to go at supersonic speeds all the way across the world on time. Oh, my life is so hard.
And it's the only person it happens to. No one else has ever had.
No one's ever been delayed at an airport. And no one else's job is hard. Like, dude working in a Waffle House, man, I really want to hear about your fucking hard job flying from place to place, seeing the country.
No, but can we talk about how that is kind of offensive, though, to your, like, we're two common guys covering sports here. I would love to get paid and sit around and watch. I'm sure it gets old, but there are kind of worse things you could be doing. And if my job's to sit there and write about the Holiday Bowl, awesome. Worst things I could be doing. I could be a prostitute or a sex worker, excuse me.
And, hey, that's a better gig than most. I just defer to Bruce Feldman on this because he is one of those mainstream college football writers. And one time, I think it was Stuart Mandel tried to throw that argument at him. He's like, fuck you! This is the best job in the world! I would watch all this college football for free. This is awesome!
Most people do, and with the way, you know, sports media works now, you get to watch college football and interact with people, and hundreds of people on Twitter, and argue and have fun. And that's what sports are about. It's about arguing with the boys.
He just looks over and goes like, this is awesome. I get to do this. I get paid a lot of money to do this bullcrap I would do for nothing. This is awesome. But I love my life.
This kind of leads me to my theory, though. Like, Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey are famous. They're sitting out their bowl games. I think a lot of these writers just hate their jobs so much that they don't want anyone else to have any time off. That's what they're really... They don't really care about the sanctity of college football. They're just angry that someone doesn't have to work.
It's just so weird to me because... And it was the point I was kind of getting to and I got meandering there. Yeah. Is that these same dudes will not shut up about how meaningless all these bowl games are, but the second that a guy who has a lot of money at stake here You know, as far as where he's going to get drafted, how well he's going to perform, because in the NFL, you have to perform well on that rookie contract if you're going to make good money. So you've got to be good out of the gate. You know, you can't afford to just like hang around. You've got to make an impression early on so you can start working on getting that second contract. Like, it's a big deal for them financially that they not get hurt. And it's like, oh, you should risk all of that for a game that means nothing, that we have all agreed doesn't mean anything. It's insane. And it's like, you know, we'll talk about Houston a little bit later, but like, that guy left his team to go coach Texas and go start recruiting for Texas, skip that bowl game, and I didn't hear anybody going, how could he do that? How could he not coach that bowl team?
And not only
in this
that,
very important Las Vegas bowl.
And most importantly, he's getting paid. He's going to get paid regardless of what happens. But if you're Fournette and you have an ankle injury, you go in there and you mess up your ankle even worse, your stock goes down, you're getting paid less money for playing in that game. And it's just, it's a bad situation. I think McCaffrey is, if you're going to give heat to any of these two players, McCaffrey's the one deserving of a little more heat than Fournette. Fournette, I get, to be fair.
I mean, I don't think... I guess because Fournette's legit been injured all year. So it's like anybody who gets on Fournette, it's like, well, you're just stupid. Because that guy's been hurt the whole season.
Yeah.
And, like, he shouldn't have played in a lot of the games he played in. So the fact that he's not going to play in this one, well, I mean, he basically gutted through a lot of games in the hope that, well, if we can make it to the playoffs, I can gut through that too. And then once that was off the table, it was like, well, we don't want to run this guy's life out of, we're not going to abuse him in that way for not much. McCaffrey's perfectly healthy and is just like, well, we don't know if he's perfectly healthy because it's college football. Like they might, like he might have had an injury all year too, and they just didn't admit it. So, like, it's just stupid. And it's just people getting mad. And there's a good argument I heard somebody make. That was like a lot of the, like the sky is falling now. Bowl games will all be even more meaningless because everybody will skip it. And it's like, okay, how about you wait for that to happen? Because all these people tried to claim the college basketball was going to be dead because everybody was going to go to Europe instead of going to college basketball, and like two dudes did. So it's like, how about you hold it before like you pronounce this new trend that's going to completely destroy sports as we know it?
Yeah. Yeah, this argument's like your classic doom and gloom, riling up people to call into your shitty afternoon sports talk radio show. That's hilarious. This is your classic barbershop argument, where there's no way these guys really believe what they're saying, right? Right, Dan? Are these guys serious?
Well, I mean, a lot of them are because they're just stupid, and they just live in a bubble with, like, other mainstream college football media dudes who... Like, the biggest thing you can ever do wrong is, like, disappoint a coach. Like, if it disappoints a head coach, then, oh my God, you have brought shame on your
whole
house.
And the worst thing you can do is Lord, heaven forbid, take money. Like, we don't live in a society that rewards that kind of behavior. Like this isn't capitalistic society. And you get upset when a player is kind of concerned about his earning power. It's like, of course he should be. This is America. Like, he doesn't get free health care when his knee blows up in some meaningless bowl game.
Yeah, college football writers, like, all turn into, like, weepy socialists when players start wanting anything.
Yeah, it's such very a strange. Weird dynamic. Like, these guys who, like, in any other realm are, like, bootstraps and do everything yourself. And they're, like, Clay Travis and, you know, saluting the Nazi flag and very right wing. But as soon as a player, like, thinks about money... They're the worst people in the world. And I think,
money is evil. Yeah. Money is the root of all evil, child. Don't you know?
But, Dan,
it's like, what?
And maybe this is just a little too woke here. How much of this is, like, really racially motivated where they just don't want to see black guys making more money than them? Because it feels like that's the heart of it.
I mean, that's always been the argument at the pro level, is that when pro players started making more money than media dudes, the whole tenor of how sports was... cover changed.
Yeah.
Because pre-salary explosion in pro sports, like, media basically served as, like, unofficial PR for athletes and for teams. And then as soon as the players started making more money than them, that all changed.
No, and not even
the relationship became adversarial.
Yeah. I think a better way to word that is as soon as the players started getting their fair share of the cut. Because it's not like these owners were never not making a ton of money in the television era.
You go back even before that, the owners weren't even making that much money, depending on the sport. Like, if you go back to the 20s, like, well, nobody's making any money off any of this.
Well, no one is in the 20s.
the only people making any money were, like, baseball owners. And even then, that's dicey, depending on what team you were.
Yeah. But I feel like a lot of this, though, is journalists who paid a lot of money or took a lot of loans to go to a very expensive school like Northwestern or Michigan or where all, you know, one of these big fancy northern schools.
Missouri. Don't leave out Missouri.
These northern schools like Missouri. And they're mad that some kid who's, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime talent, when you look at the stats, gets paid more than them for not really going to college or doing anything. Like, they're just playing a game to them and not realizing that these players actually bring in a ton of money and they're worth every penny that they get.
Because, I mean, a lot of them, like I've already said, a lot of them are in a tremendous bubble.
Yeah. But it's like I've always said, Dan, anybody can go and become a surgeon or a doctor if you try hard enough and study hard enough. You probably can be with the right opportunities. No one can become you cannot just become an NFL athlete by working hard. You were born with that. Those players deserve every penny they get. And I don't blame McCaffrey, even though McCaffrey kind of comes from privilege, so his story I don't support as much as like a Fournette. Go get your money. Go get it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want to means test your right to make a living.
I don't mean... I felt like a lot more heat's coming on Fournette than McCaffrey from the media, and I think that's pretty obvious why.
I think a lot of these guys just reveal how out of touch they are about a lot of other things that people do in college. Like, there's plenty of people who leave college early to go work in a tech company. Like, Apple does this all the time. There's a lot of small companies in the Research Triangle that, you know, one of them hired a friend of mine away who was working on his engineering degree. They hired him a year early, paid him as if he had his engineering degree already because they wanted to lock him up before he could go somewhere else. And, you know, they went ahead and hired him and paid him like a six-figure salary, and he never finished his degree. So he just figured, well, shit, you know, if I ever lost this gig, I could always go back and finish. But this is a ton of money. And he just left. And he didn't, like, stick around to finish an app for the college for free that he was working. Like he didn't finish up school projects that he had been working on for free as a student. He just went and left and started making money. And nobody says a word about how, oh, that's such a deleterious effect on higher education or on any, like, no, that'd be stupid. That's the whole reason you go to college, right? Is to get out of it and make some money.
No, and I really feel a lot of this comes down to jealousy from the sports writers because they never got to be in that position and they really wish they were. And they just can't let go of that. I think that's what it really comes down to is you have a bunch of nerds who never even played football in high school and they kind of wish that they weren't nerds.
And without going too far off track and getting into a different topic for maybe a different podcast, but a lot of these guys are just freaking out because their jobs are ending. Like their whole way they make money is not going to exist in like 10-15 years.
Those VC checks are going to keep coming if you're
like the Washington Post basically exists because the Amazon guy wrote a check. Like it does not make money in any kind of real way.
No.
You know, and eventually those days are going to come to an end for everybody. And that's the Washington Post. So imagine if you write for like the Oklahoma, like the Tulsa World or whatever.
All right. But Dan, as we kind of close out this topic, I want to move on. It's Christmas, holiday season, Christmas, Hanukkah, Festivus, right on us.
Kwanzaa,
the winter solstice, Boxing Day for all of our Canadian fans. Lots of holidays coming up. But I want to do one little
Australia Christmas. Day's coming up. Day's coming up.
Who could forget? That's where they is that where they clean out their outhouses?
It's kind of like their 4th of July, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the celebration of Australia becoming a country. Mm. Well, it's kind of like Thanksgiving too. the main thing is, like, the Aborigines population, like, always protests it. Because it's like, yeah, this is, like, your celebration of stealing our country from us. Go fuck yourselves, assholes.
You stole our land, mate.
Oh, God, saying. I just remembered your bad... I just remembered our Aussie football episode.
Good day, it's Australia Day, mate. Welcome to Australia. But it is Christmas time. I want to play a little Christmas-themed game with you, Dan. A little game to call Naughty or Nice. And I want to name some programs and players, and you're going to tell me if they had a naughty or nice year.
Okay.
And whatever your own context may be. So let's start with the first one. Penn State. Naughty or nice?
I would say they had the epitome of a nice season. Because they went from, like, their head coach is going to get fired. You know, James Franklin's on the hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
They lose to Pitt, which further cranks that heat up on his tuchus. And, you know, they end up winning the Big Ten and going to the Rose Bowl, which is something they haven't done in a very long time at that school. And, you know, all of a sudden now James Franklin's a god. Joe Moorhead in Joe Moorhead we trust. Everybody's forgotten about thinking that Christian Hackenberg was a great quarterback that Franklin was ruining, and you know, life is good if you're Franklin right now. So I would say, yeah, nice.
Naughty for me. People forget this, but Penn State covered up child rape for decades.
You gotta let that go at some point.
At some point,
nobody at that school is associated with that. Like,
But there was news this year that came out that Paterno did cover that up for a while.
But it's like nobody there is involved in that anymore.
No.
There's not a single person at that school who was there.
Well, these people forget
that. And the students are like, hey, why are y'all keep trying to put Joe Paterno's statue up? Like, we don't, like, yeah, he's a bad guy. We don't want to be associated with him. Like, the current students, I mean, it's, yeah, you got, like, the creepy frat boys, but every frat's creepy, so, well, you know, what the hell?
You know what? You know what Penn State gets for me, Dan? A bomb. Yeah. All right, but let's move on to the next team. Naughty or nice? Kirby Smart.
Oh, God. Well, he's almost too stupid to be naughty. Like, he's a dumb guy. Like, he's kind of like blandly nice. He's nice to all the other SEC teams by handing them wins. Yeah, I'll go naughty though, because he's a bad football coach and he's gonna do awful things to Georgia when it's all said and done.
I'm gonna go naughty too for no particular reason other than not letting Eason talk to the press until today.
Also naughty going to the state government and telling them they should make their change their state sunshine laws to make it harder for the press to know what's going on at a state funded institution.
Yeah, so I think we both agree Kirby Smart, naughty. All right, next on our list, Michigan, naughty or nice?
Well, it's definitely I would say overall they had a good year.
Mm-hmm.
They had an excellent year. You know, Michigan was back to being a nationally elite team. They're a top 10 team. They're going to the Orange Bowl. But if they don't screw up the Iowa game, which is a game they should have won, and if they put Ohio State away, you know, there are two games that they should have won away from being in the playoff.
Yeah.
So that's almost more agonizing than being mediocre when you know you're that close. And your inability to seal the deal is what cost you. Ooh, that's rough, but I'm going to say nice, even without those caveats.
Yeah. Michigan, great year, but most importantly, Michigan back to everybody kind of hating Michigan again.
Yep.
Which just feels right.
Yep. They had that last year. They kind of had like a lot of people feeling good. Like when you're in a formerly big time team and you finally come back, like, usually your first year, everybody's like, oh, it's nice having them be good again. And then in year two, it's like, oh, fuck those guys. I hate them.
Fuck those. It's like Ohio State. Like, they came back, and then everybody was like, fuck Ohio State. We're sick of Urban Meyer. Go fake a heart attack. But, yeah, you know what? I'm going to give them a nice also. So, our first nice. So expect something from Santa. All right. Naughty.
Milk. That's what you're going to get from Santa, Michigan. Milk. You're going to get a lot of milk.
Milk and boogers. And Christmas dinner.
And probably a new pair, like a new pack of underwear, because all that milk, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah. All right. So, naughty or nice, Bob Stoops.
Well, I mean, for this year, it's kind of unfair to give him a naughty, right? Because the bad decision was a few years ago.
That's true.
But maybe it's just now the coal that he deferred that gift of coal for a few years, and now the bill's coming. So,
but
yeah,
but Oklahoma though not the best season either though. We kind of look back at their year. This was the year Oklahoma probably should have snuck into the playoffs and didn't.
Yeah, they can blame it all on that Houston game. You know, they shouldn't have gotten beat by Houston. On paper, they're a better team. Like, if you look at the S&P, like, where both those teams finished on the stat ratings.
They had two guys in the finalists for the Heisman. Yeah. I mean, they clearly had two very good offensive players, and it just feels like a wasted year for Oklahoma. Like, I think this is one when you recap Stoops' career, you look back at this year and think, Oklahoma should have at least made the playoffs this year. I would have been shocked if they would have done pretty well in the playoffs. So,
They should have at least been, like, right there on the, like, if they had lost out to, like, Washington at undefeated, that wouldn't have been this horrible injustice. But it's just, man, like, you got beat by Houston and you shouldn't have lost to them. And then, like, Ohio State just, like, flattened you. And you shouldn't get flattened like that. Like, you should be part of being a nationally elite team is that nobody just runs you over. Like, even if you lose, it should be close. And they got just destroyed by Ohio State. So, yeah, I would say naughty. I would say naughty on multiple levels.
All right, we'll move on. Naughty or nice, USC. See, looks like they started off a little naughty, but they kind of made a run there.
It was kind of like the perfect encapsulation of USC post Pete Carroll, wasn't it? Like, their overall record is shitty. They played absolutely horrible horrible football for big chunks of the year. But then at some point, they started being like, oh man, this is USC. Like, they're good at football, right? Like, they got a ton of talent. They could beat anybody. So, like, they're going to go into next year with that, hey, they could win something, maybe. And then so they're going to be, like, top five in the polls, and then they're going to nosedive at the beginning of the year.
Lose, like, four games. Yeah, I think that's pretty much guaranteed. All right, so USC, naughty.
Yeah.
All right, as we get ready to wrap things up, naughty or nice, the smaller conferences, the MAC, the Fun Belt, Conference USA. Was this a naughty or nice year for them?
It was a okay, well, I'll go one by one on that. The MAC, naughty. Awful. The MAC was terrible this year. Like, one of as bad a conference as they could possibly be. Conference USA, naughty as hell. That conference is the drizzling shits. Sun Belt, nice. You know, they're way up from where the Sun Belt usually is. This was a really good year for the Sun Belt. And they got Coastal Carolina coming in next year. Coastal Carolina will probably win six games and make their conference even better. Mountain West, people, I would say.
And people forget this, Dan. In the past, I think of the past 4 years, starting in November of 4 years ago, App State, better record than Washington. If you do the cutting off point just right, App State is a better record than Washington over the past 3 years. Yeah.
Mountain West, I would say nice. I would say the Mountain West had a nice year. Boise State had a good year. San Diego State was really, really good.
Wyoming is a football
Wyoming
powerhouse
was a much
again.
Improved. Colorado State wasn't abysmal. New Mexico was pretty good. You know, they had a lot of pretty good teams. And Fresno's probably going to get better because they can't be any worse. So if Tedford can get Fresno going back next year, you know, Fresno made a halfway decent hire. Hey, Fresno can get back to where they were. So I think a good year for the Mountain West. Nice. The top was obviously the American, which was, you know, better than the Big 12. So nice.
I think next year, big storyline on this podcast, Mountain West, are they back?
Is the Mountain West back? Yeah.
It feels like this is the most competitive it's been, and it looks pretty talented.
Yep. So. You know, if Wyoming can keep going forward, and, you know, if Bobo can get Colorado State to make sort of a jump up, because right now they're about a 6-7 win team, if he can get them to 9 or 10, then, you know, things could get interesting.
Yeah, so that's what I'm interested in. All right, and to wrap things up, naughty or nice, the media, the college football media, how do we do this year? We're counting us, right? We're part of the media.
Yeah, we're I mean, yeah, we can't just rail outside. At the media.
We're outside enough to just see who's full of bullshit. Yeah.
We're smoking in the prom. I would say it was overall a decent year because everybody seemed to have gotten the playoff right. And the media is kind of part of forming that consensus opinion.
Yeah.
So,
The
right guy won the Heisman, so they didn't do something stupid there. Yeah, that's it. You did all right, guys.
Yeah, and you know what? A lot of, you know, on some social issues, a lot of progress made. Because we didn't, I feel like 10 years ago, we were probably see a lot more stories covered up about athletes sexually assaulting or assaulting women or things like that. Not really seeing that from the media anymore.
Like, nobody had some like awful take about how Joe Mixon actually shouldn't have been suspended at all. They should have expelled the girl. Nobody wrote that column. So good job, guys.
Yeah, we're really growing up and seeing a lot more women in college football media.
Yep,
maybe not enough, but we're getting there. So that's nice. Well, we want to see women do well after we're part of it. We don't want to see women do well before us. Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll make sure we're secure.
Once we're firmly ensconced with the six-figure gigs, then we can start worrying about pulling women up, you know, into the boat with us.
But not make it as much as, like, they sit on the end of the boat, not in the middle.
But until then, like, we're going to, like, step on their faces.
Oh, until, and you know what? Yeah, that's we get our quality. Because I'd step on a man's face, so.
Oh, I'd crush his nose.
Yeah.
I'd Larry Munson crush his nose with a hobtail boot. Hobnail boot.
All right. Sorry that we're both giant feminists. So there you go.
Sorry for feminizing.
Yeah. All right. But let's move into last weekend, or what we can recap from the bowl games. We did pretty well overall in our bowl
predictions. Yeah, we did pretty good.
I think we got two wrong. I think we both missed on Grant. Oh, well, you didn't. You got the spread right.
No, I got Hennessy. Central. I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my right. Boys at NC right. Central. Hennessy
celebration.
Yeah, my boys in NC Central, you know, everybody was saying, oh, Grambling's going to leave him in a puddle of sick. Oh, Grambling's going to just run up and down the field on him. And, you know, Central had a chance to win this game. Central's defense bowed up. And, you know, they missed frankly, I think if you call an unnecessary celebration in the Celebration Bowl, you should lose your job as a referee.
Well, you know, it doesn't shock me that you would see overly celebration from a school like Central North Carolina Tech?
North Carolina A&M? Central. North Carolina Central, sir.
North Carolina Central. Doesn't shock me that
NCCU.
That kind of thuggery. Really put a black mark on the game. Yeah.
Central goes to score the what would have been the tying touchdown. The player scores a touchdown, pulls his helmet off, gets flagged for it. That moves the extra point back that they then got blocked.
Which could have gotten blocked either way. That doesn't really mean anything.
Well, the longer the kick, the longer the kick is, the more likely it is to get blocked.
Yeah, that's true. All right, but it wasn't a bowl game, but we did see probably the coolest catch to ever win a game in the Youngstown State game. So let's talk about that in the FCS playoff. Have you ever seen anything like that, Dan? Like I think of like maybe the David Tyreek catch in the Super Bowl on his helmet, but never anything where that was. I think the most famous guy in college was Tyrone Prothrow at Alabama, who had a similar catch about 10 years ago.
I feel like I've seen a guy catch a ball off a guy's back, but that was, it's been a while. It's been a while.
Yeah, but like, never to win remember. A game in the playoffs.
Yeah, not to win it.
Yeah, yeah, that's the coolest thing I've probably seen this year in college football, in game. So, besides what we saw earlier tonight in the Boca Raton Bowl, where Western Kentucky faked the kneel down, which was my favorite play in the history of college football.
Yeah, that's good dickery. That's That's when you're really futzing with the other team.
Which, you know, and they don't I know thought what's that up was illegal down. Until today, because I thought, like, if you made the motion like you were kneeling, the refs just went ahead and blew the whistle. But apparently not.
Yeah, guess not. Maybe that's an NFL rule. I'm not sure.
Yeah. All right, but we had some other bowl games, though, Dan. One being the Las Vegas Bowl. And our boys at Houston didn't really show up.
Well, we called that one, though. Because, like, that Houston had that written all over them. They were a team that had really high expectations going into the season. They really thought they had a chance to be in the playoff. And, frankly, they probably would have if they had taken care of business. And, they're, you know, if they had beaten Navy, if they'd beaten SMU. They also lost a third game. I can't remember to who off the top of my head now. But, you know, they had three losses. Well, I know they lost to Navy and SMU. I don't know who the third one was off the top.
Oh, their last game with the
Yeah, they ended up with four losses. But
lost to somebody.
You know, Houston shouldn't have lost three conference games, but they did. And so they, you know, then they lost their coach, Tom Herman, which, you know, the Tom Herman coaching rumors probably had something to do with them losing, you know, games they should have won. It's always hard for a team to sort of realize, oh, man, our coach is leaving soon. Shit. You know, what's going to happen to all of us next? But they didn't look like they wanted to be there, and San Diego State totally dominated them in every facet of the game.
Yeah.
Especially on the ground. You know, San Diego State's Donnell Pumphrey broke the career most rushing yards in a career, you know, Ron Dane's record.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it was just a shellacking, you know, 34-10, just total domination. So, you know, better luck next time, Houston. I mean, good luck with your new coach. Good luck. He couldn't get your team motivated to, you know, win his first game as a coach, but I'm sure he's never going to lose four games in a season. Like apparently Houston cannot tolerate four losses.
All right, how do we feel about the New Mexico Bowl, where the Roadrunners were finally caught and eaten by the Lobos? But kind of impressive debut for UTSA, though, I'd argue. I think this was their first bowl game. I may be wrong, but
I believe they've made one already, but what was more exciting to me was that this was New Mexico State, or New Mexico, the Gildan New Mexico Bowl is actually played in their home stadium. And would you care to guess what New Mexico's record is in the New Mexico Bowl? They've played in three of these.
1-3.
Well, 1-2.
One and two.
And they're now 2-2 with this win. So I just found it really funny that a team playing in their home stadium did not have a winning record in that game. So good for New Mexico to finally be 500 in a game played in their own stadium.
It's probably really hard to get tickets to New Mexico Bowl if you're a New Mexico fan. Because how many people want to go to Albuquerque in December 12th?
I feel like everybody, I mean, considering that the entire population of New Mexico is in Santa Fe and Albuquerque, I feel like if you are interested in New Mexico anything, it's not that hard to get you to go to Albuquerque.
Yeah. But you want to talk
about... hey, a big win for Bob Davey, who's brought New Mexico... Yeah. I mean, New Mexico, you know, formerly coached by Rocky Long, who's now at San Diego State. They fired him because they thought they could do better, because Rocky Long's teams tend to be kind of boring, defense-first, run-the-ball-type teams. They fired him. They replaced him with Mike Locksley, who then went like 0-12 and totally killed the program. They hired Bob Davey out of an ESPN job. You know, he hadn't been a head coach in over a decade at that point. And Bob Davey's been awesome. You know, his defenses have slowly gotten better. He was obviously a great defensive coach in his day. And they adopted a triple option shotgun pistol based offense that has really put them in a position to win some games, and they do a good job. So
this feels like a great spot for Bob Davey to sit and retire in, and kind of go out as a guy decently successful. He turns he has turned New Mexico around. So
yeah, I always believe that Bob Davey would have been a very good head coach if he'd been a head coach somewhere other than Notre Dame,
yeah.
Yeah, that was his first head coaching job ever. You know, he went straight from being an assistant to Notre Dame, and I think the Notre Dame job's just too big for anybody.
But were there any other bowl games that kind of caught your eye this weekend, that caught your fancy, that we didn't mention?
Well, you know, Southern Miss winning the New Orleans Bowl, that was a raucous bowl. There was a lot of people there, you know, good attendance. And just to see Southern Miss, you know, sort of back in a position where they can play for bowl games. They've had a lot of years in the wilderness. and seeing them be like competitive again. You know, I've always had a soft spot for Southern Miss. They were kind of the original Boise State, where they would play literally anybody, anywhere, at any time. You know, back in the day, like they would play, you know, Alabama, and then play, you know, and then go and play Nebraska in back to back weeks, because you're just like, fuck it, we don't care, we'll play anybody.
Yeah,
whatever you want to do, we'll play you. Whatever bullcrap you make us jump through to schedule you, we'll do it. We're gonna play you. And I always used to respect that. And to see Southern Miss back in a position where they're a successful program, you know, it's good. It's good.
All right. Well, let's move on now to some pick'ems. Christmas weekend bowl games. You can't beat it. We're gonna kick off Thursday, Idaho at Colorado State. Colorado State 14.5 point favorite. I think Idaho beats the spread here. I don't, for no other reason than it's a home game.
It's a weird one, because it's obvious they're in their home state, but they're playing in Boise's football stadium. Ooh. Which is a very weird thing for the Idaho people. I'm rooting for Idaho, because this is their next to last year in FBS football. They dropped, you know, after next year they'll be dropping into the FCS, and seeing them, they've had such a rough go of things at the FBS level. Like, they were one of the most successful FCS programs of all of them, and then they moved up to FBS, and they've just had nothing but trouble.
But eight wins this year.
Yeah. They're going to be dropping down, and it's just funny to see them finally getting kind of good here at the very end when they're dropping down. Some of that is that they've scheduled really, you know, they're not scheduling very difficult teams, but... You know, it's I'm just happy to see Idaho going out on top, as it were.
So I think we both like Idaho to maybe keep it close. All right, Eastern Michigan University versus Old Dominion in the Popeyes Bahamas Bowl. One of my favorites.
Can we talk about how that's the dumbest sponsor out of all of them?
Yes.
Because I think somebody told, like, somebody last year said, the people of the Bahamas, like the average person who's native Bahaman, eats at KFC like three times a week. Like, KFC is basically like your mom if you're from the Bahamas, and yet Popeyes is sponsoring this.
They're trying to get in that market. Smart move by Popeyes.
I don't know. I don't know if they can penetrate that market. The people have made up their minds.
We'll see. People love
the Colonel. But this game
has
a
Popeye can penetrate the Colonel.
Oh boy, this game has a heavy. Standard to live up to, because the first Popeyes Bowl was like the wildest game of the year last year, and I don't know if Eastern Michigan and Old Dominion are going to be able to equal that. But I'm happy the players are getting that trip to the Bahamas. I'm sure they're all going to, like, that's the bowl game. Like, where you're like, yeah, this is it, there's finally a perk to being a group of five team.
Yeah.
Like, we might get to go play in the Bahamas Bowl and get a trip there.
I'd like to see the swag for that one. I bet you're getting some Popeyes gift certificates. You can't really go wrong there.
Okay. I'm uncomfortable.
It's the best chicken. But let's move on to the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. Louisiana Tech versus Navy. Louisiana Tech, 6.5 point favorite. That doesn't feel right.
Yeah, that feels really weird. Obviously, it's closer to them. Like, they don't have to do as much traveling, but Navy and Army and Air Force, like, those are the schools least affected by travel.
Yeah, so, if you're in the Navy, you're going to be traveling a lot anyway.
Yeah.
Overseas.
I mean, they have conference games every year in Texas, you know.
Yeah.
They play Houston and SMU every single season, so they're going to be playing either in the Metroplex or in Houston every year. So, and I always trust people always say that you shouldn't pick an option team because, you know, the bowl games, they've got extra weeks to prepare. But I kind of always think the opposite is true, in that the option teams are more disciplined by nature. So the bowl game, they don't go off the rails. Like, the Navy dudes aren't going off to Fort Worth and then getting drunk as hell. Because they're, solid citizens.
I think Navy and Tech have pretty decent bowl records since they've become option teams.
Yeah, I just feel like the whole you get extra weeks to prepare thing is bullshit.
Yeah. So because you get extra weeks to get rusty and not know how to make a read in live action football.
And it's also like they're playing Skip Holtz. Like Skip Holtz is a bad coach. They're not going to be prepared to do any. Like give him all the practice weeks you want to. They're still not going to be ready for anything.
Yeah. So I think we like Navy there to win the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl.
Sure. You like saying the whole name there on that
I do.
One.
It's fun. It's fun. I like that they're sponsored.
Are we secretly sponsored by Lockheed Martin?
Worse.
What does Lockheed Martin do exactly? They build jets, right?
I think they make weapons. They kill people, would be my guess.
I know whatever they do kills people, but
the
I can't
end result is they kill a bunch of brown people.
I don't know if it's guns or like fighter jets. I think it's jets.
Well, there you go.
I think they make drones, too.
But, Dan, let's move on to the main event Friday. Ohio, Troy, and the Dollar General Bowl. My favorite bowl.
I love shopping at Dollar General. I just bought some propane at Dollar General the other day.
I bought some crack outside the Dollar General earlier. Troy, favored by 4.
Look, Troy's a lot better than Ohio. And this is basically a home game for Troy. Because they're playing just down the road, you know, Troy, Alabama, and Mobile, or
the Troy High School Stadium. Is that where?
Well, this is being played in Ladd Peebles in beautiful Mobile, Alabama. Is it Mobile or Mobile or Mobile?
It depends on where you're born.
Okay, so from where you're born, what's it called?
Mobile.
Okay.
Mobile.
I would say Mobile. I would say Mobile.
You got to get that E. You got to Mobile. I dust if you wheel.
But it's definitely not mobile, right?
No, it's not.
Like, it's not a quarterback. No. It's not like Cordell Stewart. It's
not something your child plays with either when it's a baby.
Well, I call that a mobile.
I believe that's a mobile.
I don't say that. That's weird.
I think it's I call it the spinny thing that you put in front of a baby.
I think the only thing I've ever described as being mobile is a quarterback who's
a telly. You can call me on the mobile, mate.
Oh, I don't say that.
Well, Australia Day.
I didn't do a summer abroad and come back with a fake accent.
But yeah, I like Troy. Troy's been pretty decent all year. I think Troy kills him.
Yeah.
Troy's a good team. Not a great. They're a good summer.
Ohio doesn't do anything well. They just like. I mean, they still have Frank Solich there, which it's fun to see Frank Solich, but. His teams are so aggressively boring, and they never have one good player. They always just try to gum you to death by, like, they'll either run the ball or throw, like, a half a yard pass and just do that up and down the field.
But, Dan, I can tell you about an exciting team. The main event of Saturday. Most people, Saturday, you'll be watching NFL all day on Christmas Eve. You'll get done watching the pro football. You're going to tune into ESPN, and you're going to watch... The Hawaii Bowl. Hawaii.
I mean, that's my...
Yeah. At Middle Tennessee State.
In Aloha Stadium.
And you know what? There's no line on this game. Because you can't put a line. You can't bet on Christmas.
This is my favorite Christmas tradition, is watching the Hawaii Bowl. It's almost always Hawaii in it. You know, if they're bowl eligible, they're playing in that game.
Except one year when they go to the Sugar Bowl.
That one year they went to the Sugar Bowl and lost by 10,000.
But, you know what, Dan? But they did play Georgia that year.
Was probably the best team in the country that year.
Yeah. But you know what? Growing up, I watched Georgia in the Hawaii Bowl like 3 or 4 times in the 90s.
Jim Donnan's. Yeah, Jim Donnan's Georgia teams were not.
Do you think maybe Donnan tanked on purpose? Knew he wasn't going to be that good. And would you rather go to the Hawaii Bowl or the Liberty Bowl? Give me Hawaii every time, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, especially, you know, it's a bowl game, so the bowl are paying for your travel. Yeah. So
it's putting the pieces together here. Maybe Donnan's smarter than people thought.
Oh, yeah. He's also the guy who got Randy Moss to come to Marshall, so...
And he got involved in the Ponzi scheme, so...
Well, haven't we all?
Right.
Who among us has not lost thousands of dollars in a Ponzi scheme, minimum?
Who do we like to win in this game, or will anybody even really be awake by the time it's over? Because we're all just stuffed with Christmas Eve dinner, food, and beverage.
Sure, all that duck, you know. Well, Middle Tennessee State, if they don't win it, I'll be shocked. Because they're a lot better than Hawaii. Yeah. But, you know, Christmas miracles can happen.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an exciting day. I think after watching pro football all day, to sit down and watch two great programs like Middle Tennessee State and Hawaii go at it.
Sure.
It's going to be exciting.
All right. This game was better back in the day when Hawaii ran the run and shoot because you could at least go,
Hawaii needs to bring back June Jones. I think that's just what needs to happen.
They kind of did, though. They just got a cheat. Like, they hired his former quarterback, Nick Rolovich.
That's right.
But they do run the ball too much.
Bring in Tommy Chang. Let's see Tommy Chang make a comeback.
I just want to know if Timmy Chang's doing all right.
Timmy Chang.
I'm just worried about him. Like, Colt Brennan, I'm pretty sure he's selling weed to teenagers. But
Timmy Chang, I don't know what he's doing. That's where they end up.
That's most Hawaii citizens. Yeah. Like, oh, God, we just lost Hawaii.
Oh, we lost.
Who's that Damn MMA guy? Happened. Who's that MMA guy from Hawaii who's retired now? He was
Tito
always
Ortiz.
Fat. No. Everybody's going to get mad at us now.
Brock
Lesnar. We didn't know the MMA guy.
But you know what, Dan? That was talking MMA.
It was talking. We did talk some MMA.
There we go. That'll be on the description. All right, no games on Christmas Day. There are some NFL games. Pittsburgh, Baltimore.
Because the NFL is godless and hates our Lord and Savior.
Yes, much like the secular NBA, which is run by Jews. So people forget that.
Sure.
But it's also during Hanukkah, so you can't even use your anti-Semitism in this argument, Dan. So this is really a shame. Monday, 11 a.m., this is a day full of football. This is what, to me, is the best week of bowl season right here. Because you wake up, football on all day. And we're going to kick off Miami of Ohio, Mississippi State, in the St. Petersburg Bowl. Mississippi State, two touchdown favorite.
Yeah. I think Miami of Ohio keeps that thing close. I wouldn't be shocked if Miami of Ohio won it, just because,
they do have a better record. Because Mississippi State's 5-7.
Sure.
I figure Mississippi State would, but it's 11 a.m. It's a weird. I would avoid this, or if we were doing like a big bowl pick'em, maybe take Miami of Ohio and don't make it one of your big confidence points games.
Yeah,
but I could see that. I could see them keeping it close. The 11 a.m. start time always kind of worries me with big spreads.
Plus,
like
it's
that.
Tampa. Like nothing good happens in Tampa that early in the day.
No, except a lot of good dinner specials.
Well, strip club barbecue.
Mm. But next, the Quick Lane Bowl. Maryland, Boston College. Maryland favored by one, so pick them.
Former ACC teams collide. Yeah. This is weird. Isn't the Quick Lane Bowl like usually a MAC team? I'm weirded out by the fact this is now Big Ten versus ACC.
I feel like since the football playoffs, all the traditional bowl matchups have kind of gone to pot. It's just whatever.
Especially down below.
Yeah.
Like it feels like some of the group of five teams got squeezed out of some bowl games they used to go to.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm going to be rooting for Boston College. You know, bragging rights, ACC. You don't quit us and then beat our worst, bowl eligible team in a bowl game.
After Christmas. The day after Christmas at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I think the winner here is the fans.
Sure.
You can't really this used to be the Little Caesars Bowl, correct?
Oh God. I missed the Little Caesars Bowl. Were you ever a Little Caesars guy? Did you ever eat Little Caesars in college?
$5 for a pizza? I can do that.
That was go to pizza when I was a little boy. When I was a little boy dreaming of being a big boy. It was all about Little Caesars.
And then our final bowl game on Monday, the Camping World Independence Bowl. NC State, Vandy, in a battle of the nerds. Who wins?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure you know who actually goes to NC State, but I would not call us nerds.
NC State favored by four, by the way.
I would say, because the ACC is a lot better than the SEC, so I would just pick, like, any team from the ACC over any generic SEC team, especially an SEC East team. So, that sounds about right. But
you know what? I would agree with your logic, but this is Vandy. And Vandy, to me, was the best SEC East team. I think Vandy wins. That defense is still really good, and they probably got the best linebacker in the nation.
I think if we simulated the thing on paper, NC State would win. But I don't know how well NC State adjusts to being in Shreveport. Yeah. Whereas Vanderbilt, like, if you play football at Vanderbilt, you're used to being in some unsavory places. I'm not sure NC State's going to be ready for that.
No. But I'm kind of interested in that one, though, actually. Oddly enough, this is probably my most circled game for Monday.
Yeah, I mean, NC State's got a pretty good offense against a pretty good defense.
Yeah, and like I said, I thought Vandy was probably the best team in the East, and if they weren't Vanderbilt, like they had a different offense, probably would have won the thing. You know, so pretty underrated team, in my opinion, was Vanderbilt this year. Yeah. So I'm interested in that one. All right, and then you'll have a little Monday Night Football action after that. But then Tuesday, the Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl. Army, University of North Texas, Army, 10-point favorite. Does Army finish the miracle season and win the Zaxby's Bowl?
I would say yeah, because North Texas is bad, and Army has beaten better teams than them.
Like Navy?
It is kind of a home game for North Texas. Denton is you know, in the Metroplex, sort of, and this is in the old Cotton Bowl, the original Cotton Bowl. But... I mean, you know, it's like we said earlier, the military schools travel well, and North Texas just isn't very good. Like
5-7, by the way.
Army's played and beaten better teams than North Texas, so.
All right. You
know, I would expect Army to sort of run away with that.
Yeah, I like Army there, too. And then, after that, in the Military Bowl, presented by Northrop Grumman?
Oh, Northrop Grumman, yeah. I'm pretty sure they're a military contractor.
Ah. Temple, Wake. Temple, 12-point favorite. Does Wake win now that their radio announcers are screwing them over?
I mean, they got a shot now.
Yeah,
I kind of think Wake's going to do it. Temple's got a new coach.
Yeah, I like Wake because I don't like coaches. I don't like teams after their coach left. I like teams after their coach got fired. The next week. I usually think teams respond well when their coach gets fired. Not when your coach leaves. Wake, I think Wake wins. I think these players are fired up after Wakey leaks.
Yeah, I think Wake Forest is going to be there to play.
Yeah.
Here's a fun one. Northrop Grumman is a leading global security company providing innovative systems, products, and solutions in autonomous systems, cyber. So basically they make drones.
No.
Like they send drones to blow up your family.
Or hospital. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. So another great sponsor for NCAA football. The National Funding Holiday Bowl. Minnesota, Washington State. Washington State, 10-point favorite.
Okay, before we get into that, what is national funding?
I don't know.
Because that sounds like a made-up government program that somebody sends a spam email to your grandma telling them, Donald Trump's launched the national funding program. Send us your bank account and receive your check.
It's like, you remember like all those Facebook ads that was like, Obama just made a new mortgage law?
Yeah.
Check this out. This is what is national funding is all about. Can we look that up, Dan, while we get ready to preview Minnesota-Washington State? I said Washington favored by 10. Minnesota's had a pretty solid year, especially for a team that's been through a lot of turmoil in the past couple of years. Washington State, pretty disappointing into their year versus UW. I like Minnesota to beat the spread here. Maybe not to win, but I'm not sold on Washington State winning this game. Especially by 10 points.
Well, I do think they have the better coaching staff, so that's something that can help them. I like Mike Leach better than I do Tracy Clays. Plus, Minnesota's had all that weirdness where the team went on strike, was going to refuse to play because 10 players were booted off the team. You know, 5 players were expelled from school. Another 5 were suspended for their involvement in a gang rape. The players were not going to play until they were reinstated, and then basically the school like said, all right, here's the report of what happened. Are you still sure you want to go through with this? And the players went, oh shit, no. Oh god, we didn't. Oh no, we made a terrible mistake.
Here's what national funding, they offer small business loans, merchant cash advances, merchant credit card processing, and equipment leasing to qualified small businesses. I have no
fucking
idea.
This sounds very vague and mildly sinister.
You know what? This could be a scam. You might be onto something here, Dan. I think national funding is a little scam here, and I think they're going to ruin the good name of the Holiday Bowl, which used to be where BYU would win national championships.
Yeah, it also kind of sounds like what was that thing the guys you go a payday loan? This kind of seems like payday loans, but for small business guys.
The Carl's payday loan cactus book. This is probably my favorite time though for bowls because now we get all these ridiculous sponsors. Like it feels like a lot of the bigger sponsors have either pulled out or like just focus their attention on games that people watch. And now you get bowl games sponsored by scam operations like National Funding or Lockheed Martin or the Satanic or the Scientology Bowl.
Well, I mean, my favorite is Advocare, which is literally just a pyramid scheme. Like,
the Amway Bowl.
I mean, Advocare is literally just Amway with supplements. Like, it's total horseshit.
But speaking of something that isn't horse, and this might be the most appropriate sponsor, the Motel 6 Cactus Bowl. Boise State Baylor. Boise State favored by a touchdown and a half. Do they continue their pretty solid year, finish it out beating Baylor, who had a pretty
hard... Baylor, everything about Baylor just seems like everybody's ready for this to be over.
Everybody's
like,
jumping off the ship.
Everybody involved.
Yeah. Just wants to leave. But you know, it's weird, we were kind of positive on Al Groh at the beginning of the year. And has he done a very good job there? Has he just been handled like a really shitty situation?
I think he did the best anybody could have done.
Yeah. But we like Boise here, right?
Yeah, Boise's going to stomp that ass.
All right, and then we're going to jump to the Wednesday games for next week to finish out our bowl preview for Christmas holiday weekend, Christmas/Hanukkah weekend, if you will. The New Era Pinstripe Bowl in Yankee Stadium, I believe. Pitt, Northwestern, your boys are favored by 5.
Yeah.
Versus Michael Wilbon's boys, Northwestern.
I kind of am worried how well will they perform without Matt Canada pulling the strings. Their defense is trash, but their defense doesn't give up the run. But everybody, like you and me and 9 buddies, can throw the ball on them. Yeah. So we'll see. Northwestern's not a very dynamic offense. This feels like a game where Pitt could really do some damage.
Yeah, I like Pitt here. I know you lose the coordinator, but those players are still going to be excited to play. They're going to be in New York. This is probably the biggest stage Pitt's going to be on. This year, obviously, give me Pitt. I don't think Northwestern's going to show up. They're too tired. They're too tired from studying for finals and nerd stuff
and filing lawsuits. There's no team in the country who has more litigious players than Northwestern.
Listen, you gotta love that. Next up, the Russell Athletic Bowl, West Virginia, Miami. Miami favored by a field goal. But I like Miami to win here, actually, so I don't mind that.
I think Miami usually wins
bowl games.
I think Miami does even better because, hey, the Big 12, I mean, if when in doubt, bet against the Big 12. Their out-of-conference record was horrible this year.
Yeah.
So just take Miami. Plus, it's, you know,
which
it's
is weird
close to home.
West Virginia is a 10-2 team. Miami's not ranked.
Yeah, but West Virginia didn't play anybody out-of-conference.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else in the Big 12 got their asses beat out of conference. West Virginia avoided that by just playing, you know, West Tecumseh Tech. So, I mean, West Virginia, they were one of the teams whose coach came into the year on the hot seat. You know, they're going to end up finishing the year, with 10 wins. So, God bless them. I think Miami stomps a mud hole and walks it dry.
All right. And next we'll get our first Fox Bowl game of the season, I believe. As Indiana and Utah square off in the Foster Farms Bowl.
In beautiful Santa Clara, California, home of Dave Meltzer.
Utah, favored by a touchdown. Utah should win here. They're way better than Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana, just all that weirdness with their coach being fired for abuse. Mm-hmm. Vague abuse, very vague stuff about how their coach might be abusive and weird. I don't know. They're in a weird place. I would go with Utah.
I like Utah to win. I'd tease it up to 2 touchdowns. Utah's a really good team who didn't really end things right, in my opinion. I think they're going to kill them. I would tease this up to 2 touchdowns if you could. Make your money. Lock
I would
that
be shocked.
One up for me.
Yeah,
that's the one. I
would
like.
I would be more surprised at Indiana winning than Utah blowing them out. Put it that way.
And next up, our last bowl preview of the episode, Texas A&M, Kansas State, and the Avocare B100 Pyramid Scheme Texas Bowl. A&M favored by 2.5. Give me Kansas State. A&M's going to blow this. They don't care about this game, right?
I don't know. It's a battle between a Big 12 team and then a choking dog SEC team. I don't know. I don't know. This is the great... This is the great quandary. You know what? I'll take Bill Snyder. His teams always play well in bowls.
Yeah, Bill Snyder. I like Bill Snyder.
If I had to mention one of like my favorite beatdown games of all time, it was a few years ago. It was Brady Hoke's next to last year at Michigan. They played Kansas State in the Cactus Bowl, which at the time was called the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl, and Kansas State just completely and totally pulled them apart and just did awful things to them. Yeah. To the point where the MGO blog, MGOblog.com, they do a podcast. They recorded a podcast so angry that they ethered it from the internet. You can't find it anywhere because they were so mad at their team, which ended up obviously bleeding into the next year when they were screaming that everybody should be fired. But it was like this, it was like they were, Kansas State broke them so much mentally that they just turned into a bunch of raving assholes to the point where they were like, you know what, we gotta delete this. We can't let this be remembered for posterity.
A&M's had a weird up and down year. Like at one point, I believe A&M was in the College Football Playoffs, and now they're not even in a New Year's Eve or New Year's Eve bowl.
Yeah, they're playing in Houston. In the Pyramid Scheme Bowl.
In the Pyramid Scheme Bowl. So I don't think they're going to do so hot.
Yeah.
I would imagine. This is
a recruiting game, too.
Play this game, too, though? If you're Miles Garrett...
No, he doesn't.
Do you play?
No, he won't. This is also like the recruiting bowl because it's important for Kansas State to beat Texas A&M. Any Big 12 team that gets a chance to play Texas A&M is going to want to beat them to try to make sure that they don't get any advantage of being in the SEC. Like, you gotta hold turf against the team that used to be in the conference.
Yeah.
It's also disappointing to me that we didn't end up getting Texas A&M in this game. That's kind of bullshit. But Texas didn't do their job. They finished 5-7, so.
Yeah. What are you gonna do? All right, but next week, we will be back to preview the bowls that you really care about. But it'll be fun weekend. Fun week.
The Birmingham Bowl. That's your favorite, right? The Belk Bowl.
And the biggest bowl of the year, the Sugar Bowl, as Auburn fights for decency and class in college football. So that's going to be pretty exciting. But Dan, as we get ready to close things out, I want to talk, for the first time in a couple of months, NBA. It's back on Christmas Day. Are you ready to watch some NBA? It feels like Christmas Day is the... For like your more casual NBA fan, this is the start of the season. This is when basketball starts getting really good.
Pump it in my veins. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I got it tied off. I got the needle ready. Just put that NBA straight in me.
Any particular game you're looking forward to? I know what I'm looking forward to.
You go ahead and tell me.
All right. That's going to be the finals rematch, 2:30, just as you open the gifts, hopefully, or just sat down for Christmas supper. Warriors Cavaliers, the rematch in Cleveland. Pretty excited to watch this one.
Will Golden State jump out to a 3-1 lead and then lose?
Yeah. If that game starts off 3-1 and Golden State blows that lead, that will be the best capper on 2016, I think. Or if like a grilling shot, one or the other, something, one or the other is happening.
Do you think the NBA's biggest regret is putting the Timberwolves on Christmas?
I felt that was a gamble that's worth making, and there's off chance that, Karl Anthony Towns has a really good game and becomes the next big superstar of the nation. So, and Westbrook's fun to watch. So I think, end of the day, this could be a fun game. Not the best year for Minnesota, but Minnesota's only 5 games out of the playoff race in the West. So this could be an interesting game. I think
we always look forward to the Lakers versus the Clippers.
Yeah, I think that's what we're most... I don't think anyone on the East Coast do. But you know what? That's going to be a big game in California.
Hey, so. a certain fellow we're both acquaintance with, a Mr. Hath. He'll be all about that game.
Yeah. I think there's two games you're going to skip on Christmas. Celtics-Knicks, Bulls-Spurs. That just sounds boring. Just even saying it.
The Bulls aren't even that good, right? Like, they're not...
Yeah, they're mid-level. But yeah, they kind of fell off. But yeah, it should be a fun Christmas day. And there's NFL that day, Dan. So it's going to be a nice sports day. You know, we'll see Pittsburgh and Baltimore. I think there's another game. I don't feel like looking it up. But Pittsburgh-Baltimore is always a fun rivalry. Maybe not going to be the most offensive game, but one I'm looking forward to. Because you do have the best running back in football, Le'Veon Bell, going up against the one of the best run defenses in the NFL. So it'll be a fun little matchup. And for a lot of people, Fantasy Championship will come down to that game. So,
yep,
got to be excited. But as we get ready to go, Dan, Christmas, this weekend, what's your favorite Christmas moment relating to sports? Your favorite sports holiday moment?
I would say when I was 4 years old and I got my Ric Flair wrestling doll, which I saved for many, many years. Pro wrestling counts as Christmas, right?
Yeah, that counts. Starcade and all that.
WCW was sports. WWF was phony bullshit, yeah. Right?
Speaking of a fake, one of my favorite Christmas sports gifts for account wrestling, I got all 13. At the time, it was 13. WrestleMania's on VHS for Christmas 1 year. And that was like the best gift I ever got in my life. So.
Yeah, aren't a lot of those WrestleManias really terrible, though?
Not when you're 10.
Did you just not realize it, right?
I was 10, yeah. I was just happy to have wrestling on Tuesday morning. When it's not,
and obviously they couldn't get you the Starcade tapes because, well, the first three is just like a bunch of grown men bleeding to death.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't let your kids see that.
No. But, let's see. Any others? You know what? My favorite sports memory from Christmas? When Rocky knocked out Ivan Drago and ended the Cold War.
Yeah, won it for the United States.
People forget that. That's a Christmas movie. Rocky IV.
Sure. I mean, if Die Hard is, then it definitely is, too.
Yeah.
I just know I made that my life's theme. If I can change and you can change, then maybe we all can change.
And I think that'll close us out for this holiday edition. We apologize for the show being posted like last week. If you have issues, blame Coughlin.
Yep.
So you know what? I love you, Coughlin, but... You get the fuck you of the week, Mike Coughlin. Merry Christmas.
Oh, I could never do that to poor Coughlin. He's a mensch.
He felt horrible about it, though, to be fair.
But he's a great guy. I would buy him a beer at any establishment.
Yeah. All right, Dan. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Happy Hanukkah. Mm. Merry Kwanzaa. Happy Festivus.
Yeah.
Okay, Festivus isn't real, though.
It's a real holiday.
Okay, can we finish up by saying that I kind of find it, like, offensive to people of, like, actual faiths that Festivus gets thrown in there as if it's equal to, like, Hanukkah and Kwanzaa?
You talk to most, like, people, they don't know what Kwanzaa is.
But some people think it's important. Like, it's not like all black people do Kwanzaa, but the people who do...
Yeah, but then it's like, is the winter solstice important?
Yeah, that's like 5,000 years old. That's older than all of them.
There's only one holiday to me, and that's bowl month. That's the holiday.
Bowl mass.
I worship at the altar of college football. That's sure. Where I'll be spending my... No.
Yep. I mean, sure. We're modern secular Americans.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But happy holidays to you.
Yeah.
Happy holidays to all y'all at home.
And enjoy the two UFC shows that I'm sure they're on this weekend.
Sure, there's a UFC show every night forever. Yeah. Until the day... Oh, yeah, we're all living in hell. The UFC's on every night.
Watch Stuart Van Zandt take on Jimmy Northcutt. It's going to be awesome. So, I'm excited about that one.
I did see Northcutt lose. Whatever his name is.
Mickey Gall, who had an interview here on halfguarded.com. If you didn't check that out last week, go check it out right before the fight. So we'll see. Check out.
Plugs, we got them. We only plug the other shows on this network now.
Yeah. Oh, and you know what? I'd also recommend checking out the Rogue One review from the Couch podcast. Pretty fun. Leave it Daza and Tony. If you're getting ready stuff. After you see Star Wars, go check it out. So, but yeah, Dan, are you ready?
I guess I'm ready. And, you know, I cue up some festive music, play some Burl Ives. But on this podcast, we turn to one man, and that's at Owenson. We haven't shouted him out in a while.
Yeah.
And now every week.
I haven't seen him in a while.
Look, he might not be having a great time, but it's Christmas time, yeah. And God bless him, too. And play that music, Jason.